back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Jester. With me, as always, is Wheels Manicker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
As always, I've missed like three of the last five podcasts, but I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, that's true. You have. You're always there for the intro, though.
Well, you make me. You like maybe get up at 4 in the morning and do a stupid intro for 2 minutes.
All right, so we got a team today that you hate. You have them as one of the worst teams in the league. This was one of our biggest disagreements. You have the Baltimore Ravens at 27. I had them all the way up at 18, and I thought, well, maybe I was missing something. So cumulatively, they're at 23 in our cumulative power rankings. But their over-under is 8.5, which, you know, as an example, is higher than the Denver Broncos.
It's a legacy team. Broncos?
They finished 12th in DVOA last year. Mm-hmm. Behind a bad offense, but a great defense. So before we bring our guests on, why don't you tell me why you hate the Ravens so much? I mean, you think that they're one of the worst three or four teams. I think you said that they're
going to have a top five
pick,
right? Well, first of all, the truth is when we made those picks, it looked like Flacco was in worse shape than I think he is now.
But you just said last week that they're going to have one of the worst five records in the league.
I think they have no ceiling. I why are they going to be better than last year? And they weren't good last year.
Well, they were 12th in DVOA. That's a playoff team.
Yeah. I mean, I think the 8.5 is a legacy number. It's like,
we're better than eight.
Like Mike Wallace, like who's getting you excited about this team?
All right, well, why don't we bring our guest on? And our guest is George Costanza on Twitter, but he's also a Tar Heel Conch. So Garrett, welcome to the podcast.
Hello,
the man.
Excited to be on.
Sorry, Garrett Bushman is your real name.
Garrett Bushman is the real name. My real name's not Tar Heel Conch.
Or George Costanza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if George would be a Ravens fan. Elaine might be.
She's an Orioles fan. She got thrown out of a game. She's so committed.
Yeah, but she had moved to New York years before the Ravens existed. So.
And she hung onto the hat. She was committed to the cause.
Are you
our
also
terrible
an Orioles
team?
Fan?
Oh, I'm a huge Orioles fan.
We've had a little renaissance the last couple of weeks.
We're competing for that garbage second AL wildcard spot with your Twins.
Yeah. It's fun to make the playoffs for 3 hours. I can tell you that as a Mets fan from last year.
Yeah, I mean, literally, one of the worst moments of my life was when they didn't put in Zach Britton last year in that playoff game. I was just like a wreck for 2 weeks.
Well, this is a theme because we had Superfan Robbie on the podcast a couple days ago, and he was a wreck last fall after the Ohio State-Michigan game. So
yeah.
We have a lot of people struggling with their sports fandoms. Actually, now that I mentioned Superfan Robbie, let me bring him in. He says that the Ravens had the best draft of all 32 teams. He loves all their
college
first
football
four
expert.
Really?
He thinks these guys are going to be stars. He thinks their defense is going to be heavily improved for the next few years. And again, this is a defense that last year was sixth in DVOA. So Superfan Robbie seems to be more on my side with the Ravens, and I only have him at 18, which isn't high. But why don't you tell me, what is your feeling coming into this season for this Ravens team?
I'm probably somewhere in the middle of you guys. I would say they're probably around the 22nd best team, and I'm flattered that Robbie thinks we have a good draft because most people were not high on our draft, and Robbie is also the only guy to ever block me on Twitter.
Wow!
So
our guests are fighting with each other. What happened? Tell us that story.
You guys brought it up on the podcast. I don't know if you remember, but I may have made an ill-advised tweet following the election. I was
We got it.
It was a tumultuous time, but yeah.
Robbie, unblock Garrett. He supports Trump.
I'm wearing my Make America Great Again hat right now. This team is not very good. If you just look at the depth chart, you don't see a lot of talent. This isn't a great indicator of successful teams, but if you just look at the top 100 players in the NFL, you have maybe one or two that's on the Ravens. So it's hard to see a lot of talent in this team.
Yeah, and also
if we were going to talk about the Rams later, I just noticed also, like, you could talk about like the team being talented outside of Goff. But then you look at them in the top 100. If you go by, let's say, Pro Football Focus top 100, the only guys you could even make a case for there are Whitworth and obviously Aaron Donald. So who would you make a case are your top 100 guys?
I'd say Marshall Yanda, our right guard, is probably one of the top 100 players in the league. He's been a really solid guard for the couple.
Yeah, that's had him at number 7 in the entire NFL.
Yeah, but the problem is that right guard is in a particularly high leverage position. It doesn't matter. I'd rather have a better left tackle or basically most other positions. Maybe Eric Weddle is a pretty good safety.
Yeah, you had two top 10 guys, Weddle and Yanda, in Pro Football Focus.
Surprising. I thought Weddle had nothing left when he left the Chargers, but he had a great year last year.
No,
safeties
a good,
like die early nowadays. Not like literally die, but they seem to run into steam pretty quickly.
Maybe it's that beard. Maybe it's the same.
He's a good ball hawking safety, so he was very productive for us.
Garrett, do you want to guess your third guy in the top 100? You only have three.
Is it
last year's Ravens?
I'm gonna. Was it Brandon Williams?
No, you're missing the obvious one.
The obvious
Joe
one.
Joe Flacco is not a elite quarterback.
It's very easy.
Joe, oh my God, this is embarrassing. Is
when you
it,
get it, you're not going to be embarrassed, but you're going to realize it was stupid. He was probably named team MVP when they do those like team MVP, you know, players vote for the team MVP. I'm sure he was named team MVP.
Was it? It wasn't. We didn't have him last year. It wasn't Pierce. No, I mean, because the strength of the team last year was our run rush defense, no, so that's what I'm going
for. The strength of the team was the guy you're missing.
Steve Smith?
Nope. When I say it, you're gonna feel stupid, but I'm gonna make you keep guessing.
All right, I'm prepared to feel stupid. Jimmy Smith?
No. Now you're just making guys up.
Jimmy
Smith. He was on the Jaguars in the 90s.
McCardo?
No, Mosley?
Justin Tucker!
Justin God. Okay, that's the... Yeah, I mean,
by the way,
you weren't
I
thinking special
one,
team, so it's not so embarrassing. I get it. You weren't thinking special. Yeah. But
I mean, if you look...
No, but Keith, as soon as you said it was obvious...
Yeah, no, you should have got it, but like, it doesn't... I'm not going to hang up on you because you forgot the kicker.
if you look at the two things that his team really does well, it's rush defense and special teams, which I would argue are two of the most useless things, which is why I'm not particularly high on this team. But yeah, that makes sense.
The Tucker note, in my 12-team like old man league, Justin Tucker went 75th overall.
That's like Dan Fouts, you thought Ray Guy took him like second overall in the all-time draft or whatever.
First round pick.
And he's like, well, he was great last year. I'm like, yeah, but you don't get his last year stats. Like, he's not going to go 10 for 10 from like 60 yards this year. Like, he had a once-in-a-lifetime season. Even if he's the best kicker, he's not on a team that scores the most points. And it's freaking kicker. Like, this is the only league that I'm in out of a million that even plays with a kicker.
I mean, this is a bottom 10 offense, so I don't understand at all how that pick makes any sense.
I mean, I guess the argument is they can only get to, like, the other team's 38, and then you just kick a field goal every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been really solid the last, you know, 5 years or so. The Ravens struggled a lot with kicking in the past. I don't know, but another one of the worst games of my life was the Ravens. They played, I don't know if you remember this, Chester, they played the Vikings in 2009, the Brett Favre season. They missed some field goal at the 40-yard line, and then they missed a field goal to tie the game in the AFC Championship in 2010. So they've had their kicking problems, but not since Justin Tucker.
Well, I remember the Ravens-Vikings game in December a couple years ago. That was the Cordell Patterson game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? It was in the rain, and they were like, it was like 12-7 with 5 minutes left in the game, and then both teams scored like 8 touchdowns.
They scored like
complete insanity.
Yeah, in the last 2 minutes, they just went off.
Yeah, like literally 80-yard touchdowns going in each direction, kickoff returns and bombs. And all right, let's talk about the 2017 Ravens. You guys have been decimated by injuries, suspensions, retirements. Dennis Pitta's out with a hip. Kenneth Dixon has a knee and is also suspended. You know, this is a team who last year, I think, led the league in pass attempts, which is surprising, and was like 30th in rush attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Perriman, who you know, missed the year, he might be healthy. You've added Jeremy Maclin. Danny Woodhead, who's a running back, but really more of a receiver. So, is there going to be any running game, or is there just going to be more passing again with a mediocre Flacco?
It's going to be more passing. They fired their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season last year. They fired Mark Trestman, who was the old Bears coach, and I guess
he grew up with my dad in St. Louis Park.
Oh, really? He just coaches he's been like coaching CFL for a while, so. So they have Marty Morninghue as their offensive coordinator, and I imagine it's going to be more passing. They have Maclin, as you mentioned, this year, who's going to play slot, and he was cut by the Chiefs. So Ravens Twitter, Ravens sphere is excited about him, but I can't possibly see why. Like, I mean, probably at best a wash with Steve Smith, who was like a corpse. He was like, you know, 30 some odd years old in his late 30s, and he was cut by the Chiefs. So there's not a lot to be confident about as far as their skill positions. As you mentioned, Kenneth Dixon is out for the entire year. It seems kind of cruel that he's suspended and is injured. I don't know. It just seems over the top. And I don't know. They lost Kamar Aiken, one of the receivers of the Colts. And it's, I don't know, it's not a lot to be confident. Perriman, he was a first-round draft pick a couple years ago, hasn't really showed up. He's been injured. So there's no real reason to think that he's going to be a particularly productive receiver. And as you mentioned, Mike Wallace of the old hated
Steelers.
I mean,
this is like
teams.
A good team in 2011 with like Flacco, Wallace, and Mack.
Yeah, I know. All Wallace does now is he runs 50 yards downfield, and he doesn't possess Torrey Smith's best talent. And I don't know if you guys remember what Torrey Smith's best talent
pass
was.
Interference.
Pass interference. Yeah. He just run down the field, and he would have triple the pass interference yards as everybody else. And Mike Wallace doesn't seem to
have
that
the right
skill.
Quarterback for doing that, but yeah, he doesn't have this.
Yeah, that's all they do. Yeah, that's all they do.
So let's talk about the defense for a second. So number 6 in DVOA last year. You've added 4 new defensive backs, so you should have an improved secondary. So I think the defense should be very good.
Yeah, so the defense will be very good. They re-signed Brandon Williams, and so they have they had like an all-time rush defense going into week 13 last year. They have a very good secondary going into this year. They got Tony Jefferson. They got Brandon Carr. You know, Weddle has been very productive. Smith's coming back from bunch of injuries, but the real concern is that they don't have much of a pass rush. So I mean they have a good secondary, they have a good rush, they have a good rush defense, but they can't get to the quarterback. I think Suggs had some sacks, but no other guy
for,
had more than 4
sacks. For a Ravens front 7, it's shockingly anonymous. I mean, if you ask like, you know, pretty like serious football fans, after Suggs and maybe Mosley, I don't think they could name another guy in the front 7.
Yeah. Again, as I mentioned, they signed Williams for a huge contract, like $52 million this offseason. Pierce, he was undrafted a couple years ago, but really has been rising through the ranks, and he's been up and coming. But their inside linebacker core is not really impressive, and all they do is stop the run. They can't get to the quarterback at all. Yeah, which
it sounds a lot like the Jets, like they're built they're built for the 90s.
Yeah. So if you if rush defense and special teams is what carries teams this year, then the Ravens will have a very good year. But
I do love the secondary. Carr, Smith, Weddle, and Jefferson is really solid.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, they have a very good secondary. But again, if they can't get to the quarterback, they're just gonna. I mean, he's gonna have all day.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Right. Secondary doesn't matter if you don't have a pass rush. I agree.
Hmm.
Garrett, let's go game by game with the Ravens and let's try and suss out how many games they're gonna win. You can't play the roster game anymore, Chester, because the rosters have been cut from 9 to 53, so there's no fun, like, Fish Smithson-type guys left on teams.
So the Ravens...
Fish Smithson, that's a real name?
Fish Smithson, yeah, he was one of our guys earlier in the... I know you listen to everything and then edit them, so I'm sure you heard his name 10 times, and you're just joking. Yeah, so the Ravens... what were you going to say?
I'm saying their schedule is really weird this year. I don't know if you can look at it quickly, but... They have all of their hard games are on the road, and all of their easy games are at home.
Yeah, so let's go through it, and because you start with a couple divisional games, right, at Cincy. Okay. So how are you feeling about this Sunday?
This will be a loss.
What do you guys, like 4.5-point underdogs? We'll play guess the lines I've already looked at.
We're just stealing bits from Cousin Sal and
stealing
Bill
bits?
Simmons.
We've been doing it for so long that we forgot we stole it from them.
Haven't you been competing against them since like the early 80s at this point?
Yes, he got a retweet from Cousin Sal since he last did it, and I think this year we got a really up the game.
I remember you sent it to one of these guys on Twitter, and he basically just called you like, what
the Cousin
hell?
Sal
like,
called him a huge loser. Like, Cousin Sal called Chester.
Yeah, that's correct. He's turned around on him now in Chester.
All right, so at Cincy's a loss. Then your home opener is hosting the Browns. I assume that's a win.
That's a win. Then they have the Jags, which is also a win.
That's in London, right?
What? Yeah, it's 9:30 a.m. So they'll be 2-1 at this point. The Orioles will be out of the division. It's, 24th September, Orioles.
And I don't even want to don't even check Twitter to see where your alma mater is, because I think they just got some bad news too during the podcast about the injuries. All right, so you're at 2-1, and then you host the Steelers.
Loss.
Okay. And 2-2, you go to Oakland. So here's another tough game on the road.
Yeah, loss.
All right, you host the Bears.
Win.
Then you play Chester's beloved Vikings on the road.
That's a loss.
Okay, so that's 3-4, and you host the Dolphins on a very short week. Sunday night, you guys come home first.
That's a coin flip game win.
All right, so you're 4-4. Last game before the bye, you go to Tennessee.
Loss.
People are really high in the Titans. All right.
Well, I mean, the Ravens have always been a traditionally like a weird team that they've won, even in their bad years, they've won 6 games at home every year for like since like 2010, except for the year that they were abominable. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just trust them at home more than at the road. They always play poorly on the road.
Yeah. So after the bye, you're 4-5. You go to Lambeau. Yeah. I mean, you're not joking. The hard games are on the road, and then the easy games are like.
The only easy game we have at home, I mean, the only hard game we have at home is the Steelers and maybe the Bengals, and those are divisional games. Mm-hmm. So we go to Lambeau, that's a loss.
So you're 4-6. The season's falling apart at this point. Monday Night Football, can you salvage the season at home against the Texans?
Nope.
No.
Loss.
Wow. So you're 4-7, you host the Lions.
We're going to split the Texans and Lions, so we'll win that.
All right, so 5-7, then you go to Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
I'm tempted to figure out if we're going to split with Pittsburgh because we always do, but I'm going to say loss. This is not a very good team.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where the talent is.
6-8, hosting the Colts. This could be like, who's your backup again?
Isn't it the Browns?
No, who's your backup? The Browns were a win. Are you going to lose in Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to hopefully win. They almost lost in Cleveland. Our backup is Ryan Mallett. Right. You know, the Ravens are one of these teams that were supposed to sign Kaepernick, but Biscotti said, oh, yeah, our fans can't do it, which is ridiculous because if someone actually thinks that Ryan Mallett is better than Colin Kaepernick, then their football sense needs to be managed. I also thought it'd be cool to have two quarterbacks who played against each other in the same Super Bowl be on the same team. That would be kind of a weird, fun coincidence. And it's not like those quarterbacks were like they kind of their teams carried them in the Super Bowl. Those were like elite quarterbacks in 2012.
Yeah.
Like Joe Flacco was,
Flacco was before.
He was in the playoffs.
Yeah,
in the
playoffs,
he was certainly elite.
Joe Flacco was like elite. Joe Montana times Tom Brady.
I've said that postseason was the greatest postseason run for quarterback in history.
I mean, yeah, he was just insane, which is why he signed that huge contract and ruined the Ravens for the next 10 years. Yeah. And then Browns, we lose. I mean, Browns, we win. Sorry. Colts, we win. And Bengals at home. I lost you guys?
No, we're listening.
Sorry, there was background noise that just stopped. and then Bengals, I would say, is at home, a win.
All right, so you're finishing, what is that, 8-8 then? Or is that 7-9?
I think that's 7-9.
Yeah, 7-9. Yeah, I have the Ravens finishing 8-8, possibly 9-7, so I'm a little higher, as we said, than you are. Their over-under is 8.5, so you're going to take the
I mean, that's sure. like one of the most insane over-unders I've seen.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a lock for you.
Yes. I mean, that would be one of my best bets.
All right. Is Joe Flacco still the starting quarterback for this team next September?
Yeah, they're paying him like $27 million. So, I mean, I guess that's not always guaranteed, but I think so, barring injury. Again, there's so much goodwill. Ravens culture is weird at this point because of the way that they had that 5-year run where they won a playoff game every game. So as Akiva said, they're kind of like a legacy team. So everybody just assumes, oh, it's the Ravens. You know, they have this good system. You know, Ozzie Newsome's a good drafter, even though he hasn't had good drafts recently. So, I mean, people just assume good things, and there's still enough goodwill towards Flacco in the community again because he literally won them a Super Bowl.
Do you think he'll start to get the Cutler treatment where it's like, well, can we do a little bit better than this? Or no, you think he's not so old. Like, is he just locked into the gig for the next 5 years?
I think so. And I think that also he might have the Cutler thing where people joke that Cutler doesn't care at all. And I think that's the thing with Flacco. Flacco, you know, sign his money, and then people feel like he kind of isn't trying. I think it's very split amongst Ravens Nation, as it divides the whole world if the Ravens are any good. You know, some people call him Joe Flaccid, and some people still believe he can be the quarterback. Some people, you know, blame the offensive line or the weapons because they've never really had good weapons. And even in their amazing run, you know, it was just Anquan Boldin, who was a serviceable wide receiver. You know, Torrey Smith just drawing penalties, you know, Jacoby Jones, and they had some other guys. And so they've never had a great weapons. And of course, a wife beater.
I mean, what he's starting to do the last 2 years is throw shorter passes. Now, maybe you could argue it's a problem with the offensive line or the receivers, but.
There's going to be a lot of checkdowns this year. There were
that's why you have
aggravating
Woodhead, right?
amount of checkdowns last year. Yeah, but if, you know, your strategy is to just pass to a aging, hurt 32, you know, 5'6", you know, running back, then I don't know if that's a long-term strategy to propel this offense. Again, it all rests on Flacco. Flacco's good.
I mean, he's 32. Like, I don't think he's magically going to become better than he's ever been. Like, his best season was in 2010. I mean, he's coming again. That was a long time ago. I guess 2014, but...
Yeah, he was very good in 2014. That was post-Super Bowl. They had a random renaissance. That was the Gary Kubiak year, so... And then they fired him. And so I can't imagine that at 32 he's gonna just... Especially coming off a back injury. Like, there's no... Again,
I mean,
there's no
players...
Reason to
like,
think.
You could have a down year in the NFL. If you have two down years, generally means, like, you're on the... Essentially on the decline. Like... football is, you know, is pretty punishing. And I saw someone this week on Twitter be like, well, Doug Martin had a good season in, like, 2011. I hope he could get back. Like, no, your running back who was good 6 years ago is not going to get back to that. Like, that's never happened in the history of the league, and it's not happening today. Like, the Flacco might be better than last year, but I think we know what he is at this point.
Again, this Ravens manifesto, again, there's this blind faith in Baltimore and amongst Ravens.
Well, I think it
Ravens,
starts with Harbaugh.
You know,
I think people
faithful.
Think, oh, Harbaugh's a good coach, so he'll figure it out.
Yeah, it does start with Harbaugh, but there's a belief in the system, and that is why they always say we're going to have 8 wins. And, I mean, to be fair, they did have a good DVOA. They had a positive point differential, but, I mean, a lot of those good stats are based off they had one game where they beat the Dolphins by, like, 40 points, and that kind of just, like, carried them. They would have a negative point differential otherwise, so... It might be a bit misleading, and the Dolphins, as we saw in the playoffs, are pretty terrible.
All right, Garrett. So, Chester, you want to do over-under? We did over-under. I'm getting old.
Yeah, we did over-under. It's 8.5, and he says that's crazy. And he's
I mean, it's
under.
Literally, I think it might be the worst over-under in the entire league. And I think the Ravens guy on ESPN said they were going to go 9 wins. And I don't know if you saw the article on ESPN where all the beat writers – tried to guess their wins, but literally eight people had their teams going 11-5, which would be the most insane year of all time. I think I counted that it was over 60 wins and losses.
Yeah, well, that was the running joke we had.
Chester, could we do a talking soccer segment? Steal from part of my tape, but actually talk soccer for a second? Because I'm sick of talking about the Ravens. No offense, Garrett, but they're the same team every year.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
So, I was distraught about the U.S. losing 2-0. I'm a big USMNT fan, and it was a terrible loss at home to Costa Rica this weekend. And obviously today they have a must-win game in Honduras. But so 3 teams, Chester, out of 6 make the World Cup in CONCACAF, in the North America Plus region, right?
I know how.
Yeah. But the 4th team now gets a, starting last World Cup, gets a like a home-and-home with, you know, their equivalent in what is Asia. And they do the same thing with South America versus Oceania, which really means New Zealand, because nobody else, like the second best team is the Solomon Islands. That they should get like an eighth of a spot, not a half a spot in Oceania, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so if the U.S. finishes 4th, it looked like they were going to have to like go to maybe Uzbekistan or something, but just based on a result that just happened this second, they may have to go to Syria, which would be insane. I just think it would be funny. U.S. versus Syria, first spot in the World Cup. Anyway, it's been talking soccer.
Good segment.
Do not check Maryland Twitter because you have a couple guys out for the season that you're not going to be happy about.
All right, I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to... This could be rough.
I hope you liked your freshman quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They were like Georgia Tech last night. They just ran every play for... They just ran for like 300 yards.
Well,
so.
They're going to have to do that because they don't have the starter anymore. All right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's out for the year. Do you know Jesse Anibobinum? He's also out for the year.
Garrett's discovering this in real time. You go for your walk, Keith. We got to go from your 27th ranked Raven to the 28th ranked.
All right. Yeah, we got another podcast to do.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. The Rams are worse than the Ravens.
But you did a great job, Garrett. We always have a trouble finding Ravens fans, so thank you so much.
All right, have fun, guys. Thank you. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you on Rob's stuff, so I've listened to probably 500 hours of you talking in my ear, Akiva. So this is a real thrill.
Terrible.
So thanks for having me on.
Oh, it was a thrill to have you. You did a good job. We'll have you back. Thanks so much, Garrett.
Thank you very much.
All right, Garrett. Good luck to the Ravens, except the Vikings game this year.
Yeah.
And you never know. Maybe you'll be back on in January.
Who knows?
Keith does not think so. Neither
we're,
do you.
We're like
if Maryland's in the college football playoff, we'll have him back on.
Yeah, that'll be the day. I mean, after Saturday, I was just booking my ticket. I was already booking my ticket to the playoff. But it's, yeah, I doubt that would happen. I mean, at this point this year, the goal would be to prove ourselves as a Big Ten school. Because still, everybody gives us crap.
We just want to beat Rutgers.
If we lose to Rutgers, that would be embarrassing.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Eric, wait. Don't say bye. Kiev, you're staying with me.
Okay. Whoops.
Time to talk Rams.
All right. Time to talk Rams. We're actually talking Lions. But yeah.
Should we jump right into the Rams?
Jump right into the Rams.
Okay. This is the last of the really crappy teams. This is the 28th ranked Los Angeles Rams.
20 is how many fans they have left also.
Well, at least we found one of those 28 to come on the podcast this year. And hopefully he'll be a real Rams fan, because last year we had the host of the Rams podcast, and it turns out he was a Bears fan. So we'll see if we can improve on that. So this year we have with us Alex Alarcon. Alex, are you a real Rams fan?
I'm a real Rams fan. I stick with them all in the St. Louis days and when they left from LA to St. Louis. So I've been through every single year of punishment and tears. So ready for another year.
So you write for RamsHeadquarters.com. So you're from St. Louis and you started as a Rams fan in St. Louis?
I actually started it. So I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, and I started the blog when they're in St. Louis.
So, and why was that? Just because they had been in LA before, or?
Yeah, just because they had been in LA before, and just the
sort
opportunity.
Sort of like Adam Carolla. I think he always stuck with the Rams.
Yeah, Carolla's
a Ram. I was always stuck with them.
Yeah, so coming back to LA was very exciting for you then.
Oh, it was very exciting. As soon as I got the news, jumped on board season tickets, and I'm a season ticket holder.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we have a legit Rams fan here today. All right. Are you excited for that budding rivalry you're going to have with the Los Angeles Chargers?
I mean, we could say it's a rivalry right now. You know, we have those Charger fans who, I don't know if you saw when they play the Rams in preseason, they try to unleash their huge banner, which was absolutely a fail. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. So let's jump right in here. You know, this is a team who last year had the worst offense in the league by DVOA, and that sort of killed any chance you had, even with a decent defense. Jared Goff, Keeve hates Jared Goff. Tell us if there's any reason why Jared Goff is going to be anything other than terrible.
Well, see, it's the offensive line's improved, and the receivers are improved as well. And, you know, basically the ball is in the court right now, so this is the year we get to see if he's actually worth, you know, the first pick. And, you know, as all Rams fans, we're waiting to see if he's actually worth, you know, the money, all the draft picks. You know, we not necessarily improve everything on the offensive line and the wide receiving core, but if he is a decent quarterback and he is an NFL starting quarterback, he should be able to win games with our offensive line and wide receiving core.
But you keep saying if. So
yeah, have you seen, Alex, any signs? Is there anything you've seen that's positive that makes you think, oh, last year was an aberration and the line wasn't good enough and Jeff Fisher is incompetent? Like, what have you seen anything that makes you think, oh, yeah, Goff is going to be a good NFL quarterback?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen throughout the preseason games where instead of him running outside the pocket, he's staying in the pocket. He's taking the hits, but he's also throwing the ball a lot more downfield. And especially the game against the Raiders, he looked incredibly well. And what I've seen is that he stays in the pocket. He doesn't target one receiver. He'll look all across the field now. So I think he's getting more comfortable and he's ready for the NFL now. And so we'll see if that actually all plays in truth now.
And let's talk about, I mean, you keep talking about the receivers he has. You know, this is a team that's been paying a lot of money for bad receivers for a while. Last year, they gave Tavon Austin a huge contract, which really didn't make sense. This year, it was Robert Woods who they gave a big contract to, and then they made the trade for Sammy Watkins. You know, Watkins is, you know, whereas Tavon Austin and Robert Woods, it was really incomprehensible. Watkins, at least in theory, has the potential to be a Pro Bowl receiver, although he hasn't done it yet and he hasn't stayed healthy either. So, I mean, are these receivers, I know that they're expensive, but does that actually make them good?
Oh, not necessarily. I'm not the biggest fan of Tavon Austin. I think this possibly maybe his last year in Los Angeles. If he doesn't fit in the new role that McVay has, then I think he's easily out of his role.
Yeah, sorry.
Kiva?
You ask one more question.
All right, and then and let's talk about the running game. Todd Gurley, obviously, as a rookie, was incredible. And last year, you know, as he was a top two or three pick in every fantasy draft, he regressed very, very badly. You know, is this a Trent Richardson situation all over again, or is Gurley going to bounce back?
Oh yeah, I think Tago will definitely bounce back. I mean, I don't see it definitely being a bounce back to his rookie year, but it's definitely a bounce back where he finally has a role back in the Rams offense, maybe close to around that 1,000 yard rushing and close, you know, 6 to 8 rushing touchdowns. But I think since we got that, the off the line help definitely on the left side, it definitely will open up the running game even more, and which that will lead to hopefully a better passing game for Jared Goff.
So you think that it's going to have to be the running game that's going to set up the passing game?
Absolutely.
NFL, because most teams sort of go the other way these days.
Yeah, well, especially what I saw from last year is every defense knew that Jared Goff was horrible. They knew the only offensive player they had a lock in on was Todd Gurley. So they load the box. They had 8 defenders in the box, and they just got Todd Gurley. That's why Todd Gurley had, I think, an average around 1.8 or 2.1 yards per carry, which is abysmal. And so if we somehow get Todd Gurley to open up the running game, I think Goff will be more comfortable in the pocket. We actually throw the ball now. And so now the defense has, you know, look out for the passing game and the running game for the Rams.
And let's talk about the coach for a second. So first of all, I assume that you're overjoyed that you're finally done with Jeff Fisher after, you know.
Absolutely.
And is Sean McVay sort of getting the benefit of being anybody other than Fisher, or do you have other takes on him?
Oh, yeah, no, I think if the Rams could have hired anyone, and from a fan standpoint, you know, every fan would have been absolutely joyful to hear the news that Jeff Fisher's gone. But, you know, looking at this, you know, the Rams are the second youngest team in the NFL, and so we hired, you know, the youngest NFL coach. And so I think what the Rams fan standpoint is, like, you know, hopefully he's in this, you know, road trip for like a long time with us. And, you know, I think he understands, particularly the offensive standpoint, to fix Jared Goff. We hired Sean McVay to fix Jared Goff and make him, you know, one of the best NFL starting quarterbacks in the league. And so with that news from the Washington Redskins, we're like, if he can fix Jared Goff, our defense is looking good. We have Wade Phillips now. And so I think overall, we're looking at a pretty solid team for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree. If Jared Goff is an average NFL quarterback, then you guys have a very good team. I'm just not totally buying it. Did you watch the Amazon series All or Nothing?
Yes, I did.
That was really good. Did you learn anything like about the team, and like what was the highlight of that series for you? It was really good. We highly recommend people watching it.
Oh yeah, it was a great series. I watched last year's series with the Cardinals, and that was another great series. But I think what I really learned and saw was just the culture start to change. You know, it felt like, you know, they want to win. You know, they want to get their reps in. They have a new coach. It's basically like a new life. They're given like a second life now to try to find themselves in Los Angeles. And I think, you know, it just really showed in that series, you know, with McVay, you know, getting all the players ready. Phillips just is mastermind on defense. You know, I think it'll really see if the Rams really want to play this season, but we'll see if, you know, they could compete with the other teams.
I mean, you've talked a lot about how the offensive line has improved. You've signed a bunch of big names. You know, John Sullivan, the former Pro Bowl center for the Vikings. Andrew Whitworth, obviously the former Pro Bowl tackle for the Bengals. But these are also guys in their mid-30s or even older. So, I mean, are these guys who are names? The Vikings let Sullivan go, and the Vikings have disasters all over the offensive line. So, you know, are you guys just sort of getting big names that are late in their career and no longer can get it done?
Yeah, unfortunately we are, but I think the one name that will probably stick with us for a little bit is Andrew Whitworth. He was our biggest offensive line signing, and I think he's probably will be one of the best left tackles right now in the league. And so with that, like I see our left side, the offensive line, Rivard Saffold, Andrew Whitworth, and John Sullivan, it's above average. It's looking good. But unfortunately, our right side, when we have Rob Havenstein and Jamon Brown, you know, those are guys who have 2-3 years of experience in the NFL. And so we're trying to develop them with the guys of our left side. So once, you know, our left side off the line kind of teaches the right side, you know, what to do, then, you know, hopefully we'll have an off the line. But as for years, you know, this is probably like a 2-3 year gig with some of these big name players who probably have a little bit left in the tank. And so hopefully between that 2-3 years, the Rams start winning and we can get some bigger free agency or better draft selections, because, you know, not a lot of free agents wants to come to Los Angeles for a team, you know, who had 4 wins last year, or they're known for the offense being horrible. So I think,
I mean, and even at like receiver, you know, like obviously you added Watkins is the big piece in the offseason, and Woods as well. But Kenny Britt, who left, I mean, Kenny Britt had a monster year last year. To get 1,300 yards from these garbage quarterbacks is really impressive. You know, Sammy Watkins has never got close to that in his career. I think his career high is like 1,040 yards or something. So, you know, is there even a guarantee that the receivers are an improvement over last year? I think Brian Quick also left. Is that right?
Yeah, Brian Quick also left. Yeah, I think it is. It's definitely improvement. You know, we got Robert Woods. We have Sammy Watkins now. And I think Sammy Watkins replaces that Kenny Britt, and Robert Woods replaces the Brian Quick. And so I think that definitely is improvement. I don't really see it as a huge improvement because they're all ifs right now. Sammy Watkins is turning from injury. Robert Woods is a big game here and there. Tavon Austin is, you know, typical Tavon Austin every single game. But, you know, the receivers are looking better, but not necessarily like the best in the league. And I think we have to really see, like, in the next first couple games, is what is McVay's system, what do they have placed for them. And I kind of also saw that in the offseason, they got rid of a lot of Fisher's players and implanted their own players for this franchise.
All right, let's jump to the defensive side of the ball for a second. So the Rams, you know, they try and identify as a defense-first team. Last year, the defense was 15th in the league, so, you know, only about average, and you need a lot better than that when you have, you know, one of the worst offenses in the league. You add Connor Barwin this year, but I think the biggest news right now is that Aaron Donald, who's, you know, one of the best two or three defensive players in the league probably, holding out, not showing up. Is he going to be playing week one?
Unfortunately, it looks like he will not be playing week one. Even if he magically showed up to Rams camp in the next 24 hours, it's going to be impossible for him to learn the play style of Wade Phillips and possibly get back into the NFL ready ship. Even though he is practicing offside at the University of Pittsburgh right now, it's not, you know, our mentality and preparation for the defenders. So he's not going to be ready week one. But it's also good news for Rams fans because Andrew Luck is not playing week one. So if we could somehow beat the Colts without Andrew Luck and without Aaron Donald, I think it'd be a mess of a game. Somehow, in some way.
Somehow. I'd say if you can't beat the Colts without Luck, you should pretty much give up on the season after week one. And that's the worst team you're going to play all year. Scott Tolzien and the Colts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be one of those games where it's going to probably be like 9-3, probably. But if somehow Jared Goff and the offense gets clicking, then, you know, it could be a very impressive win for the Rams. But we'll see how the offense goes. But defensively, Aaron Donald's holdout is, I don't know if it's going to continue. It's when the offseason started and I saw Aaron Donald news, he's going to hold out. So, okay, he'll probably hold out half of August easily. But if anyone told me that he's going to be hold out into the season, I would just laugh in the face. So it's still hard to see if it's the Rams standpoint that's holding back the contract or just Aaron Donald and his agent just being a little selfish here.
So how does this team, you know, improve on being the 15th best defense in the league if their best player isn't even playing?
Yeah, and you're totally right. It's they can't improve because their centerpiece, their glue on that defense is not there. And for how many weeks that the Rams have without Aaron Donald, it's going to be extremely difficult for someone to step up. And, you know, we let go of William Hayes, who's with the Dolphins now, and he was a great defensive line member. And I think if he was still on the team, it might have helped a little bit, but our defensive line depth is just not as good now from 4 to 3 years back ago. And so without Aaron Donald, it's our defense will probably be ranking probably in the first couple games, maybe like 18th or 20th without Donald, because Donald brought that pressure. Even though he didn't have a ton of sacks, he brought that pressure, which led to interceptions, led to incomplete passes, and that's what really just helped this Rams defense and the team overall. And so when your main captain, when your main guy's not there, it's just this team is I'll say not even a team right now. It's just someone who's just a team that's just trying to like pass by for the moment.
You know, you just cut down to the 53-man roster. Was there anybody in particular that made the team that was interesting or got cut that you were upset about?
I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, that caught my eye. There was a center who got cut, but he's on the practice squad. Jake Elordramp, who's with I think it was with Washington, who's a great center. So I definitely thought he would be on the Rams roster. But besides that, I know a lot of fans were upset that Nelson Spruce got waived, injury waived. He was all preseason hype. I wasn't really a big fan of him, you know. But besides that, like, I think everyone knew who was going to get on that roster. But even if the players, like, I think Sam Rogers, the fullback, I think the only one of the lone fullbacks in this league, he got waived, but he gets on the practice squad. So there wasn't not necessarily a lot of people who got cut and just tossed to the side. They're on our practice squad. So if something does happen, you know, they'll be brought back up.
So it sounds like you're not too optimistic. This team's over-under right now is 5.5. Would you go over or under that?
I would go over. I predicted them with getting 6 wins. And so, but it all depends on, one, how Aaron Donald, when he shows up. Two, if Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they fit the system. And, you know, and they need to get the hot start and continue that hot start. You saw the Rams last year. I think they started 3-1 or 4-1, you know, they beat the Cardinals, they beat Seattle, and they were one of the most disrespected 3-1 or 4-1 teams in the NFL last year. And then just the typical Jeff Fisher, the team falls apart. They lose, you know, 5-6 games in a row. And I think I do see the Rams once again getting a hot start, but from recent years, the Rams haven't showed anyone that they can continue this hot start. They, you know, they fall flat and the energy's gone. You know, the mentality in the locker room probably isn't, you know, winning. And so I think with McVay, you know, Wade Phillips, I think, you know, we can potentially, you know, bring something, but I'm not too optimistic on this season. It's a long process for this team. We can't get a new head coach, new all the coaches and new players and expect you know, a 10-12 win team. You know, they may have the capability of getting 10-12 wins, which is great, but it's a long process that, you know, every fan and every writer has to understand that, you know, maybe give me 2 years and the Rams, you know, are competing for a wild card race strongly. But I would rather this team slowly get there, and it's going to be a process.
I think just the jump from Fisher to a competent coach puts me over. I think Goff is abominable, and I think the Goff thing is going to become a big story this year because they're going to have to cut bait, I think, after year two, unless he shows, you know, if he's not like, you know, if he's not the 23rd best quarterback by the end of the season, I think you cut bait. If he's not what we called last year, like the Tannehill Cutler line, right? Everyone better than them is like automatically the starter, and everyone worse doesn't have their job. Then I think you have to start looking. I don't know if you cut him, but you gotta start. You know, he can't be the unquestioned starter in 2018. But I'm gonna go over and say they're going 6-10.
All right, 6-10. I'm gonna say under. I'm going 4-12 again. I just I like you. I just think Goff is not good right now. And the only advantage they have is that San Francisco is also in their division. But last year, San Francisco won 2, and the Rams still only found a way to win 4. So, you know. I'm very pessimistic on this team right now, and again, if they don't get Aaron Donald back soon, it could be an absolute bloodbath. So, Alex, that's our positive feelings for your team this year.
Oh yeah, every fan knows that, you know, Aaron Donald's the glue right now, and it's basically, you know, you have a final, like, you know, from school, you have a final and you don't study. That's what the Rams are doing right now. They're trying to get by and pass this final right now without Aaron Donald. So.
Okay.
We'll see. It's going to be hopefully a short journey without Aaron Donald, and hopefully he comes back soon. Or else, you know, the fight for LA, in quotes, you know, could be all Chargers right now.
All right. Well, Alex, good luck this season. I don't think we'll be having you back for the playoffs, but maybe next August again.
Yeah. It was definitely fun, guys.
And Alex, you're on Twitter at Alex Alarcon 49, right?
Correct.
Or we can catch up with you at ramsheadquarters.com.
You got it.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Alex. I keep
it all.